a lot of the Bible is not, you know, this is going on, and all of a sudden right in the middle you got this, and then this continues on. It's all going on at the same time. And like I said, Revelation chapter 7 and chapter 10 and 17 and 18 are those four chapters, at least those four chapters in Revelation that are parenthetical. It means they're not chronological. They're just inserted and let you know what's going on. And we'll hit the... But here, what we're studying in 7, this act, and the Bible says in verse 7, we're just going to kind of review a little bit now before we start up tonight. The Bible said there was war in heaven. And you know, I read that verse and I think about the space program. You know? That's the big thing now, the space program. You know, they talk about, you know, this old man, Glenn, what's his name? Glenn something went up there, 77 years old, such a big deal. And like one fellow said, what's the big deal? What is that program? It just don't mean nothing to me. Money, let's buy Bibles and evangelize the world, you know. but it don't mean nothing to me. I mean, but if man was able to go in space and have his space, he just start messing up there like he does down here. You know, that's all it'd be. It'd just be another place for man's corruption and man's lies and man's deceit and man's glory and all that stuff, you know. But the Bible says there's war in heaven. Okay? And Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels, and prevailed not, neither was there found any place in heaven. And the great dragon, this is a great verse, let me show you, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, I believe that these angels are the same ones that's from back in Genesis 6. They fought the devil. They went along with him all the time. And so when he goes out, they go out with him. Okay? Now, we told you already, we'll kind of review this thing. The devil is a person. He's anti-God. He's against everything God is for. He's against everything that God supports. In chapter 11, he cut off the heads of God's two witnesses. Okay? In chapter 12, he persecutes God's people, the nation of Israel. Okay? Now, in chapter 12, I mean, in chapter 13, we're going to get there if we get that far tonight. He turns on the whole world. So, this world's in for a shockaroo. You know, they think that Clinton's bad, and they think we got some more men coming up that's going to be bad. Old queer-loving Janet Reno, you know, she understands she's got the, what do you call it, disease, palsy, what is that, Perkins, what's that disease Billy Graham's got? Parkin disease. I understand she's got Parkin disease, and I understand the Pope's got Parkin disease too, and Billy Graham's got it, and Muhammad Ali's got it. It seemed to be coming along with some of these great people, you know. But anyway, this scene here is when the devil's cast out, and the Bible says he deceiveth the whole world. Now, you know, you need to get that down. That'll open a lot of, or answer a lot of questions. It means that no man is capable of handling the devil. I mean, he can mess up anybody. Nobody's exempt. Anybody that's not saved tonight, I don't care whether they good people, religious people, church people, political people, moral people, I don't care who they are, the best people in the world tonight that aren't in Jesus Christ are deceived by the devil. Huh? Now, only in Christ can a man be exempt or safe from being deceived by the devil. You know, that's a powerful verse. The Bible said the devil deceived the whole world. I mean, he has deceptive power to deceive anybody in any class or any intellect or anything else he can deceive. I believe men that attack the Bible are deceived by the devil to think that they can make a correction in God's eternal truth. And some of them are supposed to be great scholars of our day. But if a man attacks the Bible, I believe the devil's deceiving. Okay? And the Bible said there in verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, give you a few more comments on that tonight. The devil is called the accuser. And we see that one of the greatest one of the greatest purposes of the devil is he's a prosecuting attorney. He'll accuse you before God, and he'll accuse God before you. That's what he did to Eve. He accused God before Eve. He says, the reason that God don't want you to eat that fruit is he knows you'll be like him. He's lying to you. Now you know what he's doing today? He's telling people. So anyway, let's get this thing going. It's just loose. I don't know. Anyway, Job's three friends come around and they said, Job, you're troubled. You're not right with God. This wouldn't be happening to you. And they tried to get Job to blame God. See, the devil using them to try to turn them against God. You see, the devil wants to turn you against God where he can turn God against you. That's how he works. See? And the sad thing of what I think about people, now this is the way I see it, and I can't point no one scripture and prove it. I believe that the people of God that are saved, God uses his people to accomplish his purpose. Amen? Now let's just revert that around. Don't you know the devil's got people he uses to accomplish his purpose? And don't you know if the devil wants to attack you, he's got somebody he'll use that's unsaved to try to accomplish his purpose in your life? It may be your wife, your husband, your children, your kinfolk. But if they're not saved, they belong to the devil. And he'll use what he's got to accomplish his purpose in your life. Now, the way you can always tell that, like I said, it's very simple. It's very, very simple. Isn't it amazing how things can go all good all week? Boy, I had a good week. Felt good. Got a lot of things done. And Sunday morning, here comes somebody or something to keep you from getting in church. You know, the devil don't want you to hear the Bible, because you hear the Bible, you'll know something about God, and you might get closer to God, so the devil wants to stop that. Huh? So he'll take some old unsaved person in your family and send them to your house, or let something happen where you just won't go to church. And then he's accomplished his purpose in your life. As you start to grow in the knowledge of God, you start to grow and get serious about God, he'll send you somebody to bring something in your life that'll make you think, well, what's the use? Now, I've seen it happen score and score of time, and I could give you an illustration. But you see, people don't realize and understand the purpose and the power of the devil. In Revelation chapter 11 and 12 and 13, those three chapters are primarily all about the devil. You ought to learn them. You ought to learn something about him. You ought to know who the enemy is and what he's doing and what he wants done. See? Now, I found this out. I believe saved people ought to try to live for God. I believe saved people ought to try to fulfill God's will in their life. They ought to stay close to God, get to know God through the Bible. But I find this, folks, you'll find that's what the devil don't want you to do. That's one thing the devil don't want you to do, and he'll work on it. He'll work on it. Now, you come on down here And it says that salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God. Now, and once again, salvation don't always necessarily mean you're not going to hell. See? In the Bible, one time, Paul wrote Timothy, said, a woman shall be saved in childbearing. Right? That means she won't go to hell if she bears children. It means she won't be saved from being deceived. Paul told Timothy one time, if he'd do some things, he'd be saved. But he wasn't talking about, not about getting saved and not going to hell. He's talking about saving his ministry. See? So every time you find the word saved in the Bible, it don't necessarily mean saved. Now nobody here is going to be, it's not talking about somebody being saved from hell. It said now it's come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, you see. I mean, when the devil's cast out, they're saved from him. Okay? I mean, I'm not talking about nobody getting saved and not going to hell. You know, a lot of time in the Bible when it says that, that's not what it's talking about at all. Now look at verse 11. The Bible said, and they overcame him. That antecedent that of him is, we're talking about the devil. There's two ways that you can overcome the devil. Don't say no other way. I don't find the Bible no other way you can get victory over the devil. The Bible said, number one, by the blood of the Lamb. So then the first thing you got to do to overcome that, you got to get saved. Okay? A person unsaved will never overcome the devil. I don't care what to say. You'll never overcome it. You might try to do good. You might try the best. And you might do everything in the world, but you'll never overcome the devil until you get saved. Okay? The Bible said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Okay? The word of their testimony. In the context, it's tribulation. Well, practically speaking, you could say this. When you got saved, you got a testimony to say how the Lord saved you. Now, the devil don't like that. He don't like you to tell people how you got saved. And a lot of people don't. A lot of people just go to church. A lot of people just try to live a pretty good life. A lot of people try just being good standing with their church and their preacher, and they do. But that's not what the Bible said. The Bible said they overcame by the word of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, see. Now, the testimony is you know something that God did in your life. And then the Bible says, and they love not their life unto death. In other words, they didn't prefer their life over the Lord. If you would have said, we're going to cut your head off if you don't deny the Lord, they'd have said, where's the chop block? And that's clear by the next verse. I mean, by the same call, look at it. It said, they love not their lives unto what? The death. The death, definite article. And that death there is decapitation, it's chopping the head off. Okay? And of course, that's what's going to happen to them in the tribulation. Alright? Now, verse 12 says, therefore rejoice ye heavens, and you that dwell in them. Now listen to this. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. Okay? Now this is, like I said, this is in the middle of tribulation. The Antichrist comes down, and the Bible warns the inhabitants of the earth. Now let's just stop here, and let's once again establish something that's going on today. There's a teaching going on today, and by some of the scholars and religions, that the church will go through the tribulation. And some say the church will go through part of the tribulation. But it's all wrong. I mean, why would God save you and then tell you, woe, woe unto you? Well, woe is judgment. We have no judgment on us because Christ took our judgment, didn't he? That couldn't be to the Christians from the church age. Folks, there's no way in the world it could be that, you see. The inhabitants of the earth. All right, now without a lot of time, let's go back to Proverbs just a minute. We studied the book of Proverbs here Sunday morning. Let's look at something back over here in chapter 27. In chapter 27, and I want to read you a verse over here. Chapter 27, and let's see, verse 11. That's on page 691, 692. And listen to this. The Bible said, my son, and we're told in the book of Proverbs, when it talks about my son, it was saved person, the son of God, so we assume God is talking to his people here. My son, be wise and make my heart glad, that I may answer him that reproacheth me. Okay. Now, how do you answer somebody that reproaches you? Of course, the context is talking about the devil, I suppose. I may answer him that reproaches me. So how does that work? Now, there's one more place, and I might have read you this the other day, but I want to show it to you again, and just go back to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22, I want to read a few verses here and show you something. Proverbs 22, and let's begin reading in verse 17. That's on page 688. Now, this is interesting. This is real interesting. The Bible said this in Proverbs 22:17. Bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto my knowledge. Okay? Now, we've been studying in Sunday morning in the book of Proverbs about the wise. And but you think about now. Claim this yourself. I'm going to give you something here you can claim as a Christian. All right, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thy heart unto knowledge. Verse 18, for it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them, what's them, the words of the wise, within thee, they shall withal be fitting in thy lips. Now listen to this. Verse 19, that thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee. Have not I written to thee excellent things in counsel and knowledge? Well, you believe that? Hadn't God did that? Well, how has he done it? Where do we get it? From the words of the wise. Okay? Now listen to this. Here's the purpose. That I might make thee known the certainty of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sent unto thee. Now, what all that saying? God said, I'll write it to you, and I'll show it to you, and I'll make it known to you, so when somebody sent to you, you can give them the truth. Okay? Now you can claim that. You don't have to go. You don't have to be dismissed. You can claim that right now as a Christian in the New Testament church. Okay. God gave you a book, and he'll make known to you that book if you put your trust in him. Verse 20. So you can know. Now, if people come and say, "Well, how do you know you're right? How do you know you're saved? How do you know the King James Bible is the only Bible?" Well, you got the answer right there. See? I mean, has God given you the certainty of truth? Has God given you the certainty of the knowledge of truth? See? But when God says over in Corinthians that he takes the foolishness in their own craft, that the wisdom of the world is foolish with God. Think about that. The greatest thing that man knows and man can do, God said it's just a bunch of foolishness to him. You know, I mean, would you take a college graduate and give him a baby rattler for Christmas? Well, that's a comparison to what, how God looks at man's great wisdom apart from the words of wisdom. Can you see the comparison? Now, of course, you talk like this to people and they think you're crazy. Of course, maybe you are on their side, but you mean, you know. Now, look, come on down back to Revelation. Look at, and let's move on and try to get some, a few more things here done tonight. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 13, it says, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man child." Now, we've identified the woman already very clear. That's Israel. But the man child, we hadn't clearly identified. I think we can, though, in just a minute. This man child, he could be some man that heads up the nation of Israel, or he could be the convert from the tribulation, or it could have been Christ in the past. Now, I'll tell you what I think it is, and I'll show you in just a minute. Verse 14, "And to the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, 3.5 years, from the face of the serpent." Now, the Bible said a woman was given two wings. And somebody said, that's probably figurative. I don't think so. I think it's planes. Huh? Jesus said in Matthew 24, "Pray that your flight be not in winter." Well, back in Matthew 24, there weren't no airplanes, were there? Of course, Jesus didn't know there'd be some when this would happen, did he? Wonder why he said, "Pray that your flight be not in winter." Or on the Sabbath, I think it was on the Sabbath. Because in Jerusalem, when this time comes, they'd go back under the law and won't no planes fly on the Sabbath. See the Bible makes a lot of, it makes things clear. When you read Matthew 24, just in the context, you wouldn't know why pray your flight be not in the, on the Sabbath. But if you just take it and say, well, back that, it wasn't no flight, so it couldn't be literal, you know. But could it be literal today? Well, sure it could. Sure it could. No problem at all. Okay. Now, in verse 15, the Bible said, "And the serpent was cast out of his mouth, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood." And what does that remind you of? Coming out of Egypt, right? Now, I'm going to give you some things, you can follow me on, but go back to Daniel, and that's what Daniel said. See, Daniel said something about the same thing in the last days. Now, let's go back and read Daniel, and we'll see something here. Daniel chapter 9, I think it is. Daniel 9 and verse... Alright, Daniel 9 and verse 27. It's on page 915. Daniel 9:27 says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and the midst of the week," when is that? Midst of the week. Anybody know? That's 3.5 years. The week's seven days, and then Daniel wrote about 7 years, so the midst of the week's 3.5 years. "He shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease for the overspreading abomination. He shall make it desolate until they consume it, until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate." And I missed the verse. I should have read verse 26. All right, let's read verse 26. Daniel 9:26. "And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself and the people of the prince that shall come that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and them thereof shall be with a flood. See? Daniel wrote about a flood, and the Bible says here in Revelations chapter 12 and verse 15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood. Now, how could a serpent cast out enough water to cause a flood? How could that happen? Well, let's see. Let's go back to Job chapter 40. Job chapter 40. You say, well, that seems kind of strange. You know, someone say, what does the devil look like? I don't know. I don't know. But he might be 20 miles long. I don't know. Job chapter 40. And that's on page 596. I'm trying to show you something, you know, because it's hard to believe all this stuff unless you got the whole Bible. In Job 40, verse 23, the Bible said, behold, he drinketh up a river and hasten not. He trusted that he can draw up Jordan unto his mouth. See? Well, here's something, wherever he is, an animal that can draw up a river. I reckon if he could draw up a river, he could spit it out and make a flood, couldn't he? Huh? I can tell you, Revelation is just hard book. It's just hard to believe. But Revelation 12, verse 16 said, and the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had cast out of his mouth. Okay? The earth opened up, and the water was went in there, and of course the nation was safe. All right, verse 17. Now, here's an interesting verse. Revelation 12, verse 17, the Bible says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Now, that's what I told you. I believe that the man-child is up. We've been talking about now for several weeks. I believe it's the converts of the nation. Okay? The Bible said, the remnant of her seed. Which, two things, kept the commandments of God. Now what is that? That's works. And have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That means the church of God will have their doctrine straight when this time comes. Because what do they say? We believe you're saved, but you got to live it to keep it. Their doctrine will be right in the tribulation. They'll be right. See? Because the Bible says, keep the commandments of God. And that is not talking about the new commandment. Jesus said, love one another. That's talking about the Decalogue. That's the Ten Commandments. And the tribulation, a person has to live under those. That means they have to live right. Okay? The life they live will be part of their salvation. Now, the Church of God says it that way today. They say you got to live it. And if you don't live it, you lose it. And they're right. They're just at the wrong time. See? See, every religious lie today is a truth misplaced. See? And that's why the Bible said you ought to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. See? Now I got a paper here that I tell you about this paper I got in the mail, and it's talked about all these apostolic churches and tabernacles and all this stuff, and their plan of salvation is Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized. Well, now, if they believe that, they're lost. And there's a page that long and that wide, and it must be 200 or 300 different churches on that thing. Now, folks, listen. If all them people believe Acts 2:38, how they got saved, they ain't none saved. I mean, if you could open people's eyes and let them see the true condition of this world, it'd scare you to death. I believe tonight that there's churches operating in this town, in your town, And in America, that run big crowds every Sunday morning, and run big crowds Sunday night, and big offerings, and big nice buildings, every one of them's going to hell. I believe it. If a man gets up and says, you got to live it to get to stay saved, he's lost. He's not trusted Christ. He's trusting what he's going to do. If a man says, you got to be baptized to be saved, he's trusting what he's going to do. He's not trusting Christ. And listen, if a man not trusting Christ, he's lost. Call it what you want. Call it what you want. That's the condition the world's in. And what are people doing to save and have a Bible? You're sitting back keeping your mouth shut. But when you open your mouth, what do? Well, you shouldn't talk about other people's religion. No, you're judgmental. Well, let me tell you something. Let me get a little ahead of myself here tonight. You know what God wants from you tonight? God wants you to open His Bible and read it and believe it and know it and look at everything the way He looks at it. And when you do, they're going to say you're judgmental because God is judgmental. See? They're going to say you're negative. The Bible's negative. See? Now, let's start chapter 13. This is another great chapter. I don't know how long it'll take us to get through it, but we'll get started in it now. Watch out for the 13. It has 18 verses. 18 verses is 3 times 6. And the last thing in verse 18 is 666. See? So, watch out. And chapter 13 is a reference of the false prophet deceiving people. Now, the Bible said in Revelation 12, verse 9, that the devil deceiveth the whole world. Okay? Now, Revelation 13 shows you how the false prophet, which is the anointed of the devil, deceives the world. Okay? Alright, verse 1. Revelation 13, verse 1 says, and I stood upon the sand of the sea. That's the Mediterranean, because that's where all John is. Exile of the Isle of Patmos in the Mediterranean Sea, isn't he? So no doubt about the sea, it's the Mediterranean Sea. And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name. No, it's not names, it's one name, plural, the name of blaspheme. Now, I don't know what that name is. But you know what? If I had to guess, you know what I think it was? I think it might be the name of one of these modern Bibles. Suppose it comes up, it's got NIV, which is a blasphemous translation. But don't forget, he deceived the whole world. He deceived people thinking that they got a Bible that's a lie. You know, if you got a book that tells a lie about God, you don't have God's Bible. Huh? Now, in Revelation 13, you know the first thing he talks about sin? He said, and the beast which I saw was like a leopard. What's a leopard? It's a cat, isn't it? Huh? Now, I probably showed you this before, but I'm going to show it to you again tonight. Look up here a minute. Anybody see that? Huh? Can you see it? Let me bring it down. Let me bring it down here where you see it. I wrote some up here. Now we're talking about a cat. Huh? Does that tell you anything? Alright, he says he saw a beast like unto a leper, and his feet was the feet of a bear, and his mouth was the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now who is the dragon? Verse 9, that's the devil. Okay? Now this beast we're talking about here is a leper. That means he's immigrated. His body, his head, and his tail are those of a leopard. Okay? His feet are like a bear. Now I've talked to you here, and I ain't got time to go back into, but in Daniel chapter 7, this leper represents the United States. And a bear represents Russia. And a lion represents England. And this will match the one over there in the book of Daniel. See? Now this thing comes up and he has a body and a head and a tail like a leopard, feet like a bear, mouth like a lion. And the Bible said he had 7 heads and 10 horns and 10 crowns. So when this beast shows up, he shows up with 10 more kings. And you read about that in Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7. And we studied that some years ago. We won't turn that tonight. We might get in that later on. Okay? Now, the animal's like the U.S., but he walks like Russia. Now, what is Russia? It's a communist nation, isn't it? All right, so its political movements are communist. But it talks English. So the universal language will be English. That's why God gave the last book in English. That's the one the devil hates. He hates the English Bible. So the scholars and all now are saying in the Greek, in the Greek, in the Greek. God didn't give us a Greek Bible. He gave us a Bible in English, didn't he? I got a thing in the mail today, and it says they want me to buy this book. Some fellas wrote it out, and he's got it all laid out and let you understand it in the Greek. Huh? So that's the big thing there. If you don't know the Greek, you don't know the Bible. Never mind the English, see? But the political system will be communist in an immigrated population. Okay, spotted. Okay? Now we're in a spotted nation. Amen? Now let's see if we can get something together on these spots here. Jude. Just flip back to the book before Revelation, the book of Jude. And let's read something here. Jude, that's on just back up page 1329. Jude verse 22. And of some have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now, how does a garment get spotted by the flesh? Okay. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 13. Watch that 13 again, see? Leviticus 13. All right. Let's see, Leviticus 13, and let's read verse 47. Now, what we're trying to find out is how does a garment get spotted by the flesh? Okay? We're going to find out right now, Leviticus 13:47. the garment also that the plague of leprosy is in, whether it be a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it be in the wrap of wool or linen or woolen, whether in a skin or anything made of skin. Okay? So how does the garment get spotted by the flesh? You know? All right, let's see if we can find Revelation 16. Revelation 16. Just a few more pages over. In Revelation 16, verse 2. Okay? Revelation 16, verse 2, the Bible says, "And the first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image." Now let me tell you what all that means. It means this: when a man takes the mark of the beast, he gets an African disease with it. Okay? Now, you know what it's called today, don't you? It's called AIDS. And AIDS is fast sweeping the world. I read a thing that it said that I can't remember all the facts and figures, but ever so often, I think it's 6 men or something, somebody is infected with the virus of AIDS. People don't realize how bad this thing is worldwide right now. See? And what's happening is the world population is preparing for this time. For a minute, I believe that I'm not going to set no dates, and I'm not going to say that I'm right, but I believe that the way America is, and we're still better off than most places, I believe the end is almost here. This thing can't go on like this much longer. That no nation can keep surviving with the attitude America's got about God in the Bible. It can't survive. There ain't no way it can keep a going. And I believe that God is trying to warn people. Now, we just read about down this hurricane down here, not far from us, killed 13,000 people. 13,000 people dead. And nobody's even thought about the Lord, I don't reckon. What if it happened in America? What if it happened in New York? What if one of them things like that was to hit South Florida? What if a 180-mile-an-hour wind was to come through South Florida? You say, it won't happen to us. Well, you better hope it don't. But you see, no matter what happens, people don't think about God. And the thing about it is, it's in the churches. People go to church on a consistent basis on Sunday and don't even think about God all week. God ain't in their life. They don't plan their life around God. They say, well, you know, preacher, I love, you know, go to church. But I'll be there if nothing don't happen. That's some attitude thing about God. You ought to think, well, look, God, you're first. I'll do what you want no matter what happens. The Bible said, we studied the Bible, said they love not the life unto death. Well, suppose everybody had that attitude about God. I'm going to do what God wants, even if it kills me. But people don't care. That's the last thing in the world they'll consider is God, you know.